Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 41 through 48 together. We're going to read this passage responsively. Matthew chapter 5, verses 41 through 48. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for what you've done for us. We sure do love you. God, you have given us so many things. What a wonderful day. Folks being saved, a baptism today, lives being changed, and Lord, I believe your people being strengthened and helped in their spirit and in their soul. God, tonight, would you teach us a little bit more about how to get along with others here, others in the world, and Lord, even how to get along with you a little better. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There is no way in this life on earth that you will ever agree with every person on every decision. Matter of fact, there's no way you'll agree with any one person 100% in any decision.
Right.
Period. Now, I say that to say this. Every decision you make is an opportunity for disagreement. You realize that no matter what you do, when there comes time for two people to disagree on something, it's because there is a decision that needs made. For instance, a student never agrees with the teacher, nor the teacher with the student. Say why? Because there's a different level of understanding. Now listen to me. Every person in this room who is age 18 or older. If you're age 18 or older, raise your hand once. All right? That's the vast majority of you. All right. Now, I'll promise you, if you just raised your hand, you are guilty of disagreeing with yourself. Guaranteed. You say, not me. You just disagreed with yourself. You look back at something in your past and say, I knew I was right. I knew it was right, and people told me it wasn't right, but I did it anyway. And guess what? You found out they were right. Am I right? All right. Oh, yeah, this is going to be easy. And your dad's standing there saying, you ought not do that. Oh, yeah, I can do this. No, you can't. You never asked him how he knew you couldn't do that, because he's already tried it and found out it didn't work. But you did it anyway, and you found out it didn't work. Now you agree with the people that you disagreed with, which means, guess what? You disagreed with yourself. If you are age 18 or older, that has happened to you many times, I'm sure. Now, God never in Scripture says you must always agree with someone. You'll not find that anywhere in Scripture. But He does tell us how we should behave when we do disagree with one another. God did not say you must agree 100% with the preacher, but He did teach you how to behave when you do disagree with the preacher. God didn't say, husbands, you're supposed to agree with your wife 100%. But He did tell you how to fix the knots on your head if you don't. How to behave when you don't. Ladies, God did not say that you were going to agree 100% with your husband, but He did tell you how to behave when you don't. So, it's, now listen to this very carefully. I have worked for 4 different pastors full time. I worked for a man in Southern California. I worked for a man in South Carolina. I worked for Brother Hiles up in Indiana. And I worked for Brother Owens here in this area. In the 23-ish years as an assistant pastor, 4 different pastors, I'm going to make a statement. Do you know that I didn't agree with all 4 of those men on every decision they made? Matter of fact, I disagreed with every one of them, including Brother Hiles. I'm not kidding. There was a couple times I looked and said, I don't think I'd done it that way. I don't think I'd have done that. I disagree with that. Now, most of the time I found out they were right and I was wrong. A couple times I found out I think I was still right. They weren't, but guess what? It wasn't my decision. It was theirs. Say, what were those things? I'm not telling you. Let me show you what I mean. I even separated with one of those men over doctrine. And to this day, you don't know what his name is. You say, why? Because I decided to disagree God's way. Amen. Everybody doing okay? There's a reason I never use the name of the church or the pastor's name with whom I disagreed. Can I tell you why? Because there's a way to disagree with somebody and not be a jerk and not be an idiot about it and not do it the wrong way. I decided to behave while I was disagreeing. Husbands and wives will disagree. I know that is a new truth to you. Parents and children will not always agree. That's not a new truth. Teachers and students will not always agree. Friends will disagree with other friends. Listen to this one. Pastor and people will disagree from time to time. But may I say this? I'm not talking about the fact of what we disagree about. I'm talking about how we disagree. I can't stop the fact that you may disagree, but I can tell you how you're supposed to behave while you disagree. And if you'll let me, how to minimize the number of disagreements you'll have. Let me show you what I mean. How many of you men enjoy grocery shopping? Okay, none of you. I hate it. There is nothing in the world I hate worse than grocery shopping. You say, what's your idea of grocery shopping? I got to go get 3 things. I know what aisle it's in. Go get it, grab it, get out of there as fast as I can. Just like every other shopping I like to do. I know where it's at Dick's. I know where it's at Gander Mountain. I know where it's at Cabela's. Past that, who needs it? Amen. So, past those 3 stores, what do we need any other store for? Good night. Now, wait a minute. I don't like the grocery shop. The most uncomfortable thing I do in this world is if I go to the grocery store with my wife or daughter. Say, what do? Push the cart. Good night. If she buys 100 things, that means there could be 100 disagreements. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Grab that can of corn. No, I want that kind. No. Okay, just shut up and keep going. I've decided when I go, that's her area rule, not mine. I'm just pushing the cart. What do you want? Whatever you get. I don't make those decisions. The outside of the house is mine. The inside is hers. Now, I'll paint it any color she wants. She's got to pick it out, not me. Say, what if she wanted one of the rooms pink? I'll paint the stupid thing pink. I don't care. Say why? I'm colorblind. I couldn't see it anyway. But even if I could, I don't care. The inside's hers. That's hers. Now the outside, that's mine. Say, so if the outside doesn't look right, you can blame me. If the inside doesn't look right, you can still blame me because I didn't pick it up or do it right. Amen? Covering for you, honey. All right. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm talking about opinions. If somebody gets up behind this pulpit and says, you get to heaven by works and salvation, leave. If I don't kick them off the platform while they're saying it. Say, what would you do if somebody did that? I would stop the service right there, pull a sermon out of my Bible, make them sit down, and I'd finish it off. Say, I can't believe you do that. Okay, you might not believe I would do that, but watch me do it. Now, I'm going to check them out well enough in advance to know they're not going to do that, just so you know. But if it ever did, some jive turkey walks in here and does do something like that, it's over. It's not going to happen. Say, why? Because when it comes to doctrine, you're looking at somebody that is worse than a bulldog. I'll promise you. I'll attack it. Now, if it's an area of opinion, I may get up and correct it later if that's not our opinion. But I'm not going to fight him over it. But if it's a doctrine of the faith, look out. I don't care who it is. I really don't care who it is. You say, well, what if it was a big name person? What if it was Denny Correll? Denny Correll's not big enough to stand behind this pulpit if I push him off. You say, you think you could take him? I know I could with everybody else. If I started, there's about 30 of you guys going to jump on him too. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say, why? Because I'm not going to let bad doctrine proceed from the pulpit here. Now, listen very carefully. God commands us to be perfect in our disagreement. Look at Matthew 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is, which is in heaven, is perfect. That word perfect does not mean sinless. Say why? Because you can't be. You cannot be sinless. Number two, the word perfect means mature. It means fully developed. It means complete. Listen to this statement. This is the one where we're headed at. It means hitting the target. If you look up the word perfect, it means literally hitting the target. Now, God is telling a group of people here, the disciples, that you have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. He said, but that's not the way it should be. He said, I say you should love your enemy, do good to those that hate you and despitefully use and persecute you. Wow. Sounds like there's going to be some disagreement, don't you? And then he says, be therefore perfect. He said, I want you hitting the mark. I want you hitting the target when you do that. Now, God is telling us that we are to hit the target. I have a target here. By the way, those are not my shots. I did that with a pen. Okay? That would be a BB-sized shot if it were. Mine holes are much bigger than that. Amen? But, and any of you people that are packing heat right now, pull it out, all right? I don't need you shooting at it while I'm holding it. Now, if you look on there, there's about 15, 18 different holes on there. There's a couple, three or four, right in the bullseye, isn't there? Do you realize that every shot on there is on the target, though? You realize that every one of those is in the kill zone? If that was a silhouette target, every one of those, center mass. If that were on a deer target, every one of those is a kill shot. Now, there's only three or four that are in the bullseye, and there's only one that is in the middle of the bullseye. But guess what? Every one of those is a good shot. Correct? Here's what happens. God says he accepts anything in there. Say why? Because it's on target. Number one, because it's not shooting at him. Number two, it's in the kill zone. Now listen to me very carefully. Here's what happens. Just because somebody didn't send the shot through the hole that you shot doesn't mean that it's a bad shot. I've watched guys. Man, they'll take six shots and they'll put them all right inside there. Some of them are hole on hole, just about going all the way through the same hole. I've watched other guys come out and shoot like this. They say, oh, one's a better shot than the other. When it comes time to real shooting, both of them are acceptable in God's eyes. Say why? Because they all hit the mark. Our goal ought to be right there. But do you know that this is acceptable? So's that. Even so is that. Every one of those are acceptable by God because they're on the target. Now, God commands us about how to behave when we disagree. He says, love your enemy. He said, bless people who curse you. Now, I know nobody in West Virginia would curse you. But happened to my wife just and some of the ladies out soul winning yesterday. Knocked on the door and some cranky old feller was giving my wife what for. And my daughter said, Dad, she got cussed out. I looked at my wife and said, did you cuss him back? She said, wanted to, but I didn't. Now, wait a minute. God says we should bless those that curse us. He said, do good to those that hate you. Ooh, that's a little tougher, isn't it? God says to pray for those which despitefully use and persecute you for evil. Now, look at me. God said he has the sun come up on all of them. He says he allows the rain of productivity to fall on all of them. Good and bad. Right and wrong. Good and evil. The Bible also says only by pride cometh contention. Ooh. Now we went from preaching to meddling, didn't we? That means our pride is the issue in disagreement. The main reason people argue with one another is because of pride. I did not say the main reason we disagree with each other. The main reason we don't get along in our disagreement is our pride. Now, let me help you. I've got seven statements and then we're going home. Number one, do not express every negative feeling you have. Okay? Some of you need to listen to me. Some of you talk too much about your negative. You know, so much of life, so much in life could go unsaid. Yes, sir. Everybody listen to me real carefully here. Do you know that not everybody cares about every negative feeling you have? If someone has done something to disappoint you, the deed is done. You can't change it anyway. Why talk about it? Do you know that there are people in our lives that have disappointed us and done stupid things? Matter of fact, look in the mirror. You could list a whole bunch, couldn't you? So what good does it do to talk about it? Everybody look at me for just a second. Some of you come from a little bit of a rough past. Can I tell you something? Quit talking about it. Amen. Quit using it as an excuse, a crutch, or something to deter you from doing right now. It's under the blood. Who cares? Quit talking about it. Back in the 70s, there was a big push in Baptist churches. I used to call them dope to hope sermons. You had some dope out there on drugs or some guy out there living wild, crazy. And I'll use a name here. He's in heaven. He's been dead for years. And he wasn't a bad guy, but a guy like a man named Jim Delaschmidt, used to be the former Hell's Angels president. $600 a day cocaine habit, president of the Hell's Angels, got saved, turned his life around. Man, he traveled the country, made a name for himself, couldn't build a church. But boy, did he go around the country. And I knew people that thought they had to go out and be in a motorcycle gang just for God to use them. Folks, that's not true. Thank God for people like that, but guess what? People like me that didn't grow up in that garbage can be just as saved and used of God, maybe even more than they can.
Yes, sir.
Learn the art of silence. Now, I'm not talking about the silent treatment. That's wicked as hell. But, you know, there are some things that just don't need to be talked about. I was talking to someone this week, and they started, I said, are you going to talk about something negative, even about yourself? Well, yeah. I said, are you going to ask me a question, or are you just telling me? Well, I was just going to tell you. I said, I don't need to hear it. They said, you don't want to know? I said, I don't want to know. I don't need to know. I'm not going to fix it anyway. I said, let's just change the subject and go to something else. Amen. Say, why? Why do I want to listen to negative? I hear enough negative. I'd like to hear some positive every once in a while. Just because you feel something does not mean everybody else needs to know what you feel. I'm probably going to get in trouble for using this illustration, but that's okay. Just add it to the list. If I have a stomach ache and I have gas pains, I shouldn't get up here and say, I have gas, I hurt. Well, I feel it. Can I tell you, that's how the average person in the world lives their life. You got to know everything going on in their life because they feel it. Just because you have a feeling doesn't mean everybody needs to know what that feeling is. Boy, this one's going to be a popular sermon, I can tell. You know, God gave you your feelings. Yes, He did. But He didn't say you had to tell everybody what you feel every time you feel something. Man, there's times I'm in my office, and, you know, did you ever do one of those bonehead things? You spin around your chair and crack your knee on the desk or something. Oh, my soul. That's enough to make you want to turn Pentecostal and speak in an unknown language. That way you could cuss and nobody else knows about it. Oh. Say, what do? You hobble around, you and hope nobody heard you. I don't come in and say, well, I did this and I did that. Now, when I back into the yawning do jigger and mess it up and I put new ones out there, I got to tell you what I did. But it's just the way it goes. You know, someone once said, love is blind. That's not true. Love is silent. Love doesn't always speak. If you love somebody, you're not going to tell all their bad. Do you know, I know just about enough bad in every person in here, I could ruin your reputation. Why would I want to? Believe me, I know enough bad about me, I could ruin me. All right. So number one, we don't have to express every negative feeling we have. Number two, okay, hold on to your seatbelt. You don't always have to offer your opinion. Oh, this one's hard. If it's not your area of authority, why do you want to waste your time formulating an opinion? It's that simple. You know, if, let me see here. If Mung is gonna and Wiley are going to paint their house, and they painted their house and I go over there and I walk in and say, huh, that's not what I would have done. What good is that anyway? Not my house. Not my area of authority. Everybody know what I'm talking about? I don't even form an opinion. Now, when I leave, I might say, don't think I ever want to do that. Or, wow, that was a good idea. If it's something I do want to do, I make a mental note. If it's something I don't want to do, I make a mental note. But I don't sit there and think about it. I don't express it. Boy, that's good stuff. Yes, sir. I'm going to make a statement here that we need to get about our opinions. Justice demands you have all sides and facts before you formulate an opinion. Right. You know that the Supreme Court of the United States of America cannot write an opinion till they've heard a case? They have to hear both sides before what they call a formal opinion. Everybody doing okay? Yep. That means they have to hear it all. Listen to this statement. The news media is a gossip garbage collecting agency. It is not news. Right. When they start telling you facts of a story before it's ever been tried in a court, can I tell you something? It's unjust. It's amazing how, and I'll use a popular case. The Trayvon Martin case was one of the greatest deeds of misjustice I ever heard. Shoot. The guy that pulled the trigger was found guilty by a bunch of the American people and all of the news media and a lot of politicians, and it hadn't even gone to court. They didn't even hear all the facts. How can you formulate an opinion if you don't know all the facts? Everybody doing okay? You say, what are you talking about? If you have no area of authority there, don't think about it. If you have time to think about somebody else's stuff, you're not putting enough time into what's your area. That's plain and simple. If my wife wants to paint the living room, I'll say, this is when we're going to paint the living room. You go pick out the paint you want. This is the day I'll paint it. You say, do you tell her what color you want? Nope. I might, if she says, what do you think about? I'll give her my opinion if she asks me. But I'm not going to give it if she doesn't ask me. Say, why? Not my area. That's hers. Everybody doing okay? What? Can I tell you something? This is a happy way to live. Husbands and wives share too many responsibilities. Some of you men get upset at your wife for the way she goes grocery shopping, but that's her area, not yours. Stay out of it. You know, I don't complain about how my wife, I never tell her where to go grocery shopping, how to do it, or anything else. Here you go. Go grocery shopping. And her and my daughter do. Matter of fact, I'm glad they do because I don't want to do it. I hate it. I'll do it, but I don't like doing it. Say why? I don't like shopping. Now, this week I took them both out and we went shopping for Valentine's Day and I bought them some things, and I was the obedient husband and daddy while they tried things on, waiting around in the ladies section thinking, boy, this is uncomfortable, but it's not as bad as walking around a grocery store. Say, why? Trust me. I bought so many dresses and stuff in my life, that's nothing. But wait a minute. I don't make the decisions about the grocery shopping. None. I don't complain. What she feeds me, I will swallow. Amen. She'll tell you, I am the hardest person in the world because I really don't care. You never tell me what you want. Whatever you make. Say why? I make enough decisions. That's yours. Everybody doing okay? Boy, this is a fun way to live. Number three. Don't demand an area of authority that you want, that you do not have. Okay, now we're going to meddle. Let's go to work instead of home. Do you know that where you work, you might want the next position, and you might get passed by, and you might think you're more qualified than somebody else. But it might be that somebody else needs to grow because they have potential to go to a different position later than what you have. You don't have all the facts. You're too short-sighted. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
And by the way, listen to this statement. If somebody gets the job you wanted, don't offer them your expertise in the area and tell them how to do what you wanted to do through them. Just wait till they ask you. Boy, that's a good thing to do. When we first got married, my wife didn't quite understand some things about cooking that the way I liked it. And every once in a while, she'd say, can you help me? Sure. Man, I'd start dumping this, dumping that, dumping this, dumping that. She'd say, how much is that? I said, oh, about that much. About that much. She said, how do you do it again? I said, next time it's about that much. She said, I'm not sure I can do it. I said, just start dumping and tasting, you'll figure it out. There's just certain things like that. Once we finally got, I don't do any of that anymore. Now, if she's busy and I've got a little bit of free time, I say, do you want my help? If she says yes, I'll do it. If she says no, I find something else to do and I don't take offense to it. I really don't. Boy, that's good stuff. Let me use something here in our church. For instance, in our ladies' meetings, we have four different ladies' meetings a year. I have four different ladies that oversee one meeting each, and we all kind of work together as a little committee and make each of these happen. Do you know that sometimes one lady's running it, and these other ladies are in charge of different areas, but they're not to step out of their area and tell this lady how to do something? If it's not theirs, you just work on the area that lady gave you and don't worry about it. Man. It's real simple. Say, well, I've got an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. It's like your nose. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. You know, that's how you get along with each other. Say, well, I wouldn't have done. Okay. But just so you know, you're probably not the center of the bullseye either. And just because somebody didn't follow your shot through your hole doesn't mean that they didn't hit the target too.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? Boy, I'm having fun up here. Y'all are looking miserable. Number four. When you do disagree, listen to this statement. If you missed everything I said, get this. When you do disagree with someone, act, don't react. When you do disagree with someone, act, don't react. Let me show you what I mean. Plan your disagreement. Sitting in my office right now is a letter that I am preparing. It's a little bit, I'll use the word, a little bit negative in nature to someone else. Not in our church, not in our area. 5 weeks. At least 4 weeks, and I think 5 weeks I've been working on it. 5 weeks. I wrote it, put it away, prayed over it for a week. Pulled it out, reworked it, put it away for a week or two. Pulled it out, worked on it, had it typed up, put it away. Prayed over it. I've been working. By the time I send it, probably 6 weeks or more. You say, what is that? I'm acting, I'm not reacting. Everybody doing okay? When your children disobey you, I realize there's in some cases some immediate attention that's needed. But some of you need to plan what your reaction is going to be. There were times when I, as a principal in a school, there's times I had to do some discipline. I could be laughing, carrying on in my office with some students or with some staff, and the very next person to walk through the door, I got to be the Grim Reaper. I had to plan my reactions. There was times, you know, those little ones can say some things that are pretty funny. And it's like, excuse me, I need to step out here for a minute. I had to go get what I called my principal face back on. You know, okay, I got it out of there. I got to walk in there and look all mean and tough again. Inside, I'm going, nah. Say, what was that? I had to act, not react. So many times, by the way, you'll hurt your children. Parents, you've caught yourself doing it. Your kid did something, you're trying to discipline them, and they do something cute, and you kind of laugh at it, and they caught it. And then you try to get it back, and you can't get it back. Say why? Because you reacted, you did not act. Boy, that's good stuff. You know, you don't have to look at someone and say, you're wrong. I disagree with you. That was stupid. Now, it may have been all of those things, but you don't have to react that way. I've learned to build people by saying, you know, maybe next time we ought not do that. That's a good way to say, I don't think that worked out real well. It's okay. Maybe I didn't give you clear instruction. By the way, if somebody is under your leadership and they did not do something the way you wanted it done, there is a chance you did not explain it as well as you thought you explained it. Boy, that's good stuff. Number five. Allow the person you disagree with to keep their dignity and the possibility that they might be right and you might be wrong. Levi, come on up here. Put your Bible down. You're not spiritual enough to read it anyway. This is a teenage young man. Turn around. Teenage young men, their heads are full of rocks and air. Okay? And there's going to be times he and I are going to disagree with one another. But you know what? There might come a point in time where I have to look at him and say, you know what? You know, you might be right. I might be wrong. I'm not against that, are you? Parents, you know there's nothing wrong with looking at your son and saying, I blew it. You know what? I think I made a mistake. Guess what? You won't die if you say that, Mom or Dad. He might. Might fall over dead with a heart attack. Do you know if you looked at your boss and say, you know, maybe I was wrong. You'd probably get the promotion that you wanted because nobody else was willing to say that. Do you know, with teenagers, sometimes they are right. How they want to do it might not be right. But the fact that they might be right, you've got to hold on to that possibility. Thank you. Do you know that husbands and wives, man, your wife does not think like you, but guess what? Sometimes she's right and you're wrong.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you have to humble out and say, you know what? You might be right. It should not be that hard for you to do. Isn't the issue being right? And getting something done the right way, as close to the center of the target as you can get, then who cares? Boy, that's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Listen very carefully here. You know, spouses need to step up and respect each other. Fellas, your wife is not a doormat for you to wipe your feet on. She does have something under her hair other than a rock head, like you. She may not have good taste in a husband, but she is right more times than not. And I hate to tell you, but she's going to be right with your kids probably more than you are because she's around them more. You might think you know it all. You stay at home with them for a week and do all the housework and do all that stuff and let her go on vacation for a week and find out how much she really was right. Okay, went to meddling again, didn't I? Can I tell you something? Those of you that work with other workers, co-workers, let them be right. I'm sure if I had Brother Smith and Brother Gus work on an electric project together, they're going to want to do it a little different from one another. They have to decide who's going to be right, which way they're going to do it, and do it. Because, by the way, both of them could be the right way to do it. They just do it a different way. Did you ever notice on a baseball team you have right-handed and left-handed pitchers? Did you ever notice that no two pitchers throw the ball the exact same way? A guy that's 6'6", 6'7", on a 22-inch mound coming down off that mound, that ball angle's coming down at a whole different angle than a guy that's 5'8". That ball's going to work at a whole different direction. You say, why? Because it's two different people. Just because one throws it one way and one throws it the other, does it make it wrong? Boy, that's good stuff. You know, allow people to have an opinion and respect their opinion, including parents for children. By the way, children, you need to let your parents know whether you agree with them or not, you're going to obey them. Boy, that's good stuff. Some of you have step-parents. Some of you teenagers have step-parents. Let me teach you something. Your stepdad or your stepmom still your authority, and you're still supposed to obey.
Amen.
You might not always agree. And I'll say this, and I'll be gentle, parents, and don't use this as a battering ram because you'll be wrong. You'll be reacting, not acting. But if your real dad or your real mom is not at home, and listen to me, children, you might not want to respect that step-parent parent in their position, but may I say this, your real parent in that permission gave up that responsibility. Somebody else stepped up into it, and they deserve the respect. Everybody doing okay? Number six. Don't seek advice to find the agreement with what you want. Let me explain that. That means if you have a question and you come see me and don't like what I say, and you're in Brother Gus's Sunday school class, you go to Brother Gus to see if he'll tell you what you want to hear, because the preacher didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I didn't say don't seek advice, but don't seek advice from the person you know who's going to tell you what you want to hear. When the Bible says there's a safety in a multitude of counselors, that doesn't mean you go ask 20 people the same question to find somebody that agrees with you so you can say, yeah, I found somebody that counseled me to do this. Boy, that's good. Boys and girls, that doesn't mean if girls, you can get dad to tell you, get you what you want, that you go say, well, mom said I could come see you, and you, mom didn't say that. That's wicked as hell. That's evil. That's playing mom versus dad and dad versus mom, and you ought never do that. Amen. Boy, just spoiled somebody's fun, didn't I? That could mean that you don't like your supervisor, so you go over his head just to go over his head because you know he's not going to go to the boss above him. You go to the boss above him without going through your supervisor. That's not right. Now, if you've tried to resolve it through your supervisor and tried to resolve it through your supervisor and it's still not working out, that's why there are levels of leadership, but you ought to start with the one right over you. Boy, that's good stuff too. I got to move on. I think it's wise for you to get the bulk of your advice locally. I really do. You know, if you work for General Motors, it's not real smart to call Detroit to get advice on how to fix a problem here in Martinsburg. I don't understand why Christians want to run all over the country and run all over the world to get their help from people that aren't there. They don't understand it all. Moving on. Number seven, and I'm done. In closing, if someone disagrees with you, let it stop right there. If someone disagrees with you, let it stop right there. Say, what do you mean? You know, there's no need for rebuttal in a closing argument, in a disagreement. You know, if my wife and I disagree about something, I'm going to let it stop right there. Now, if a decision has to be made, we'll make the decision. I might say, honey, I disagree with you, and this is what we're going to do. If it's wrong, it's my fault. I might say, we're going to go your route, and if it's wrong, it's still my fault. Because I'm the leader, and if it's wrong, I should know better than to do this. By the way, if your husband makes a wrong decision, don't hold it over his head for the next 30 years. You can't change the decision now anyway. And you're not going to like this statement. Husbands and wives, we fight over stupid things. Say, well, he's just a knucklehead. Well, what does that say about you? You married him. Well, she's just not real smart. Well, you're apparently not any smarter because you married her. Quit complaining about it. You did it. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having so much fun up here. You know, you may have to look at someone and say, you know what? I think you and I are going to have to just come to terms that we're going to disagree, but we'll get along while we disagree. It's that simple. I had a pastor a couple weeks ago. He contacted me. He said, Pastor Bush, this is so-and-so. He said, yes, sir. He said, I just need to know. And I said, no, sir, that is not true. I said, straight from the horse's mouth himself, that is not true. I said, I don't live that way. I don't suggest anybody else live that way. And I refuse to live that way. I said, and I'm sorry that you even had to call me and question that. He said, I didn't. He said, I knew better, but I just had to hear it. I said, that's fine. And I said, you and I might not see eye to eye on some things, but that doesn't mean you're bad. Doesn't mean I'm right. Just means we're different. I said, it's okay. I said, we might not agree in every area. As a matter of fact, I know we don't. I said, but that doesn't mean you're bad. I said, that doesn't mean you're going to bring your people to my church, nor I to yours. But that doesn't mean we have to hate each other. Y'all doing okay? You say, what is that? It's called agreeing to disagree. Doing it with the right spirit. Your pride pushes you to make sure your point is right. I'm going to make this statement again. There's only one bullseye, and that is Jesus Christ. Yep. All of us fall short of the mark. Right. You might think you're center of the target, but guess what? As long as you're on the target, God's happy. And I won't be crude with this. I've killed enough deer to know this. Not every shot is exactly in the right spot. But there's pretty good sized target zone right there. You got a vital organ area about that big on a deer. About twice the size of a paper plate. If you could hit that, guess what? You got a pretty good chance. Now, you like that one shot that, and it's over. But reality says it doesn't always happen that way. Say why? Because that's why the kill zone is so big. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen. I'm not saying you have a license to go around disagreeing with everybody in life. I am saying God commands us how to behave when we disagree and how to minimize the number of disagreements we have. Let me ask you a question. Jesus said, lost people love people that love them. Lost people get along with people that get along with them. Do you love your enemy? Do you do good to those that hate you? Do you bless people that curse you? That guy that cuts you off. How you drive is a good indication of the real you. I know, I just went to meddling, didn't I? But let's face it. Say, what bothers you? The guy doing 20 miles an hour up Needy Road. And you know you got to get enough momentum to go up that snowy hill, and they're doing 15 miles an hour. Put, 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 put. And I'm thinking, ooh. Mercy. Say why? Because I'm in a hurry at everything I do. Everything. Say why? Because that's just the way I am. Huh. That means I have to change it sometimes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How are you going to handle disagreements? Husbands and wives, parents, children, friend to friend, boss, employee, pastor, people, teacher, student. Huh. We're going to have disagreements. How you handle it's more important than what you disagree about. And only by pride cometh contention.